So we have two scriptures today. The first, really helps when you have your Bible the right side up. Okay. Is from Genesis, the 12th chapter. This is God's call to Abram and Sarai, who later become Abraham and Sarah. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And then from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last Thursday evening, Steve and I finally got around to enjoying my parents' birthday present to him. Steve's birthday was in July. when we enjoyed a wonderful evening at the Hobbit restaurant. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. And when I say an evening, those of you who know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about an evening. I mean, it is all evening. For those of you who have never been there before, the first course begins around 7 p.m., and dinner doesn't end until after 11. From the name, one might guess that it is a theme experience with dwarves, elves, and dragons per Tolkien's stories. Or that the decor might be modeled on a hobbit hole with round doors and windows and everything three-quarter size. But that's not the case. The Hobbit is located in a converted home in Orange, elegantly but traditionally decorated, without a Middle Earth touch anywhere in sight, except for a small sign that explains the name of the restaurant. "Hobbits," it reads. "Love peace. Love peace and quiet, and dislike machines. They like to laugh and eat 6 meals a day and drink. They like pranks and giving and receiving of presents," which is where our experience of Thursday night meets this morning's passage. Because this passage from 1 Peter speaks about gifts. And when we receive a gift, how is the gift usually labeled? It has our name on it, right? So that everybody knows whose gift it is, who it is for, the gift is for. Steve's gift of a dinner out from my parents was labeled "for him." He received it and invited me to share with it, but he used it. Last Sunday afternoon, the Ramish family celebrated Desmond's first birthday. And a number of people brought gifts. They were all labeled for Des, with the expectation that they would be used by Des. But hobbits do it differently. In Tolkien's imaginary realm, on a hobbit's birthday, they don't receive gifts from family and friends. They give gifts to family, friends, and neighbors. which makes me think that the author of 1 Peter might be part hobbit. Because did you notice who the gifts in this passage are for? We each receive a gift, but it isn't for us. The gifts we receive are for others. The passage urges, serve one another with whatever gift you have received. We are all to be good stewards of the gifts that God bestows. And by definition, a steward is not the owner. Stewards care for the property of others. In this case, we are stewards of the gifts that reflect the manifold grace of God. We don't own God's grace. We are, nor are the gifts we receive meant for our own personal benefit. We are blessed, gifted, infused with God's grace so that others may be blessed, gifted, and infused with God's grace. This has been the main function of the people of God from day one. Abram and Sarah were the people God chose to be the beginning, the mother and father of God's chosen people. And when they were called by God, God promised to bless them with a new land and descendants more numerous than the stars. But these blessings were not to be for them alone. God blesses them so that all families on earth shall be blessed. God blesses them and God blesses us not to make our lives lovely or charmed, or in the words of Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. No. God blesses us so that we may in turn bless others. But too often, we are like the woman who was invited to house sit when the homeowners had to move to Paris for a temporary work assignment. They invited this woman with excellent references to care for their Long Island home in their absence, confident in her promise to look after the house as if it were her own. And indeed, she did look after it as if it were her own. When she grew tired of the color of the paint in the kitchen, she repainted it a color that was more pleasing and to her taste. She also decided that she really just did not like wallpaper, so she just continued the paint job over all of the wallpaper. One day she looked up and noticed the beams that were going across the ceiling and thought, those look too new for this house. They need to look older. And so she took a hatchet to distress them, to make them look a little more fitting. In fact, she so treated the house as her own that when the couple returned, she refused to leave. It took a court order and a sheriff to get the couple their house back. I think that sometimes that's our problem. I certainly think it's the problem that was at the heart of what happened in the village in the story Sown Soup. If you remember last week, I read the first part of the story when a group of tired and hungry soldiers wander into a village hoping to receive some basic hospitality, something to eat, maybe a loft in the barn where they can sleep overnight. But the villagers are afraid that they do not have enough to feed the soldiers and still take care of themselves. So they hide their food and deny the soldiers' request for hospitality. They see the blessings of their lives as private for their benefit alone, instead of gifts that could be used not only to bless themselves but also others. Fortunately, that isn't the end of the story. In response, the three soldiers talk together and come up with a plan. The first soldier called out, "Good people!" The peasants drew near. "We are three hungry soldiers in a strange land. We have asked you for food, and you have no food. Well, then, we'll have to make stone soup." The peasants stared. Stone soup? Now that would be something to know about. "First, we'll need a large iron pot," the soldiers said. The peasants brought the largest pot they could find. How else could they cook enough? That's none too large, the soldiers said, but it will do. And now, water to fill it up and a fire to heat it. It took many buckets of water to fill the pot. A fire was built on the village square and the pot was set to boil. And now, if you please, three round, smooth stones. Those were easy enough to find. The peasants' eyes grew round as they watched the soldiers drop the stones into the pot. Any soup needs salt and pepper, said the soldiers as they began to stir. And the children ran to fetch salt and pepper. Stones like these generally make good soup, but oh, if there were carrots, it would be so much better. Why, I think I have a carrot or two, said Francois, and off she ran. She came back with her apron filled with carrots from the bin beneath the red quilt. A good stone soup should have cabbage, said the soldiers as they sliced the carrots into the pot. But no use asking for what you don't have. I think I could find a cabbage somewhere, said Marie, and she hurried home. Back she came with three cabbages from the cupboard under the bed. If only we had a bit of beef and a few potatoes, this soup would be good enough for a rich man's table. The peasants thought that over. They remembered their potatoes and sides of beef hanging in the cellars. They ran to fetch them. A rich man's soup, and all from a few stones. It seemed like magic. Ah, sighed the soldiers as they stirred the beef and potatoes. If only we had a little barley and a cup of milk. This soup would be fit for the king himself. Indeed, he asked for just such a soup when he last dined with us. The peasants looked at each other. The soldiers had entertained the king? Well, but no use asking for what you don't have, the soldiers sighed. The peasants brought their barley from their lofts and brought their milk from the wells. The soldiers stirred the barley and milk into the steaming broth while the peasants stared. At last, the soup was ready. All of you shall taste, the soldiers said. But first, a table must be set. Great tables were placed in the square, and all around were lighted torches. Without realizing it, the villagers began to see what they had differently. Rather than as something to hold on to and protect because there wasn't enough, they begin to see that they have a part in something bigger, ingredients for a soup fit for a king. Here at Anaheim First Presbyterian Church, it would be easy to look at what we don't have, to hoard our blessings so that we have enough if a rainy day comes. But that isn't the way that God's blessings work. They are to be used, offered, even risked for the sake of others. Because like the loaves and fish in last week's story, when placed in God's hands, they expand and are multiplied so that they can bless not only ourselves, but God's whole world. At the end of last week's sermon, I invited you to follow Barbara Brown Taylor's advice and not look at the crowd, but instead count your loaves. How many loaves do you have? Any number is good enough. What do you have to offer? What are the carrots and the beef and the barley and the milk that have been given to you that in turn you can offer? You don't have to be enough by yourself. I certainly am not enough by myself. But together, by the grace of God, there is always enough. Because the grace of God is manifold, which Webster's dictionary tells me means many and varied. There are many and varied gifts of grace present among us. What are some of the gifts that we can offer to the work of God in the world, both through the direct ministry and mission of this congregation and through our other interactions and commitments beyond these walls? Seriously, right now, what are some of the ways we can support this church and do God's work in the world? Can anybody think of anything? Anything that can be offered? Really? Yeah, go for it. Volunteering, yes, giving time to an organization or something that you care about. So, yeah, good. What else? What else do we have? Yeah, go, Charles. Food, prayer, listening. That's your ministry, isn't it? Yeah. So, others. Yeah, Linda. Yeah, Linda's been dragging people in here for the last few months, introducing our sanctuary and our church to the community, and it's been marvelous. Yeah, Jackson.
Melody.
Which?
Melody. Melodies?
Yeah, the music and the melodies, yeah. And as a guitarist and a musician, that is one of the ways that you give praise to God. There's lots of ways, aren't there? I was thinking about this week, and yes, we give money, and we do jobs around the church, but what we have to offer is so much more and varied than just that. So here's some of the ways that I've seen the manifold grace of God at work among us in the last month or so. One is the blessing of the animals. And I'm putting Linda on the spot, but I did get her permission before I did this. Linda took those friends, those connections she has in the community, along with her love of animals. She's works with a lot of animal rescue and help groups in the community, in order to bring to our event the blessing of the city park director, visits from the Anaheim Police Canine Unit, donations from Anaheim Feed and Petco, Baxter the Courthouse Comfort Dog came, our Mayor Pro Tem came. They all came together to create an event where we were blessed, certainly, but hopefully we were also a blessing for others. I also see this in Emily and Jerry Fuentes. Emily's at work at Tustin Presbyterian today. Jerry is dropping the kids off at his parents because they're giving of themselves tomorrow. They want to give what they have to make our city a place where signs of God's kingdom break through all the time. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. There will be a ceremony downtown at 11 a.m. I've been asked to offer the invocation, but the Fuentes's thought, you know, it's a good thing to honor our veterans with a ceremony. It's appropriate, but it really is only a start. Is there a way to also show our gratitude in a more tangible way? So they started to compile a list of veteran-owned local businesses, and it just keeps growing and growing. And that list will be in process, and tomorrow, four of our local business owners who are also veterans will be highlighted as part of the ceremony. They see this as a small start, and hopefully it will grow next year and the year after. On Wednesday, the church's Facebook page posted a quote from Desmond Tutu. It read, "Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world." This week, we are asking you to consider what little bits of good you have to offer. In the bulletin, you'll find a pledge card. There it is. So it looks like that. This is an invitation for you to go home and consider what you have to offer to the soup of grace that God's Spirit is hoping to simmer up here at Anaheim First Presbyterian Church in the coming year. We invite you to consider how you can support us financially. It takes money to keep this building going. It takes money to pay salaries for me and other staff. It takes money to expand our mission into the community. It will take money to celebrate our 150th anniversary. But it will take other things than money. It will take those other gifts that we've just been thinking about. So on this card, we also invite you to consider other ways, other things you have to offer. It could be something that enriches our community life. Helping Alan Usher. Alan and Glory are so faithful, but you know, it would be nice for them to not have to usher every single Sunday. Join Richard in learning how to make coffee, the fell trees and serving snacks, writing a note to a homebound member, sorting through one of the rooms in this building to get rid of the junk that has accumulated there. Or it could be something that does not directly impact our congregation, but extends our ministry into the community. Serving on a city commission, tutoring in a local school, picking up trash in your neighborhood, volunteering at a shelter. It doesn't have to be big. The many and varied gifts of God come together in many and varied ways, but they are all given to bless us and through us the world. What are the little bits in your life that you sense God calling you to offer in the coming year, at Anaheim First Presbyterian Church or wherever? Please think about it. Pray about it. Next week, bring your card back with you. Some of you will also receive a mailing this week with a card in it. And as a symbol of how many and varied the offerings that come together to bless the world, we invite you to also bring an ingredient for soup. Literally, an ingredient for soup. You don't have to go shopping for this. You probably already have something in your kitchen. Vegetables, a can of broth, a ham hock, some beans, rice, barley, spices. Bring it next Sunday, whatever it is. We will collect it all and then use it to cook up our own batch of stone soup. Actually, we'll probably do two batches of stone soup, one that is vegetarian. But anyway, our own batches of stone soup. And by the way, if one of the little bits that one of you has to offer is creative cooking, please see me. So that we can figure out how to make these random bunch of ingredients into a soup that is fit for a king. Then on Sunday, November 24th, 2 weeks from today, we will enjoy that soup together while we prepare our sanctuary for Advent and Christmas during the hanging of the greens. And we will celebrate how our bits of good come together to overwhelm the world with God's grace. Amen.